Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. War is often measured by atrocious loss, from lives to livelihoods, a way of life rooted in familiar comfort that is ripped away beyond repair. In Ukraine, the death toll and diaspora at the hands of Russia cannot be ignored. But you can also understand the toll of war by what and who remains. Their stories capture the heart of what once was, as well as the drive to endure the painful costs of a war with no end in sight. Martin Kuz is an independent journalist based in Sacramento. His father fled Ukraine following World War II, never able to return. Martin spent the past 12 months traveling to his father's homeland, first arriving in the days leading up to the invasion, and then returning again in the summer during an all-out war that continues today. I spoke with Martin upon just landing back in California from his latest three-week reporting trip, this time in eastern Ukraine. We sat down and talked on Friday, which marked 1 year since the official start of the war. Given that you're an independent journalist, you're based in Sacramento with more than 30 years of experience as a journalist, you also wrote that the series of reporting that you've done in Ukraine for the past year, that no story has felt more personal than the war in Ukraine, which is your father's homeland. I'm curious, with your experience as a journalist, yet with this very personal connection, how that shaped your approach to reporting on this war.
I think in the case of the war in Ukraine, my emphasis has been on the impact of ordinary Ukrainians. It hasn't been so much to look at what's happening with officials or even, for that matter, the military. When I've covered war previously in Afghanistan, it revolved very much around kind of what was happening with the U.S. military, what was happening with the Afghan military. And if I have one regret about my coverage of that war, it's that I didn't delve more deeply into the personal experiences of Afghans. And with this war, in part because of the family connection, and knowing that every Ukrainian feels the effect of the war, I wanted to try to capture some of those experiences and provide readers with a bit of insight into what it's like to have war upend your entire existence.
Given that your first visit to Ukraine last year was in the days prior to the invasion, and then you returned in the summer of last year, and then you joined us on Insight, I mean, it's one thing to use hindsight, knowing what we know now and the unknowns of what we know now, but did you think the Martin Kuz of this time last year would be surprised that we're having this conversation about Ukraine today?
Once Russian troops and tanks poured over the border on February 24th of last year, I was convinced, sadly, that we were in for a long slog. I don't think that's all that surprising, given that the support from the West has been strong, but it hasn't provided Ukraine with a decisive advantage on the battlefield. Effectively, you have a bloody stalemate. Ukraine has pushed back Russian forces in the east and the south, but we see now in the last several weeks that the two sides are locked into this struggle, this very violent struggle. And the biggest surprise at the start of the war clearly was the strength of the Ukrainian military and perhaps the incompetence of the Russian military. Both sides, I think there were misconceptions on either side of that military scale. The Russian military was considered to be essentially invulnerable, unstoppable. The Ukrainian military was considered to be sort of ragtag and disorganized. What we have found instead is more or less the opposite. We have found an extremely effective fighting force in the Ukrainian military, and we have found a Russian military that really seems at a loss when it comes to basic military strategy and have suffered catastrophic losses. But I think, unfortunately, in the calculus of Vladimir Putin, like Russian leaders before him, human life doesn't matter in Russia. And they simply are fighting a war that resembles World War I and World War II in that it's a war of attrition. They are simply feeding more bodies into the wood chipper, more Russian soldiers dying every single day. And knowing that that was likely to be Putin's approach, I'm not at all surprised, unfortunately, that we're sitting here a year later talking about the war again.
given that your focus were personal stories, intimate stories of daily lives of Ukrainians, at what point in your reporting journey last year did you know that you needed to return for a third time this year in the new year?
Once the invasion started last February, it became clear to me that this would be the most important story I had ever covered, and in some respects, perhaps the last story I'll ever cover. It feels to me, in a sense, that all my reporting in the years prior to 2022 led me to this point to try to bring whatever meager skills I have to bear on telling the story of Ukrainians caught in the vice of war. And it is, without a doubt, a personal sort of mission for me. And that is unlike anything I have really ever covered previously. I hope that I have brought empathy, compassion, heart to my reporting in the past of various subjects. But this connection with my father's homeland cuts so deeply for me and has become, it's fair to say, it's all-consuming. It is what I focus on every single day, what I wake up thinking about, what I go to sleep thinking about. And I think it's also a sense that this is the contribution that I can make, that this is my effort to continue to tell these stories so that American audiences, Western audiences, don't forget the struggle and the suffering of everyday Ukrainians that goes on and on and on as long as this war continues.
Given that you went three times in the span of 12 months, you know, in the days before the invasion to last summer, and you just returned for a third time, do you view each reporting trip as its own chapter?
In a sense, yes. The scale of the invasion, and even with all the intelligence that suggested the invasion would begin last February, I think most people were surprised that Putin went all in. He wasn't trying to bite off chunks of Ukraine. He was going for the whole country. Even if he wasn't sending tanks and troops into Western Ukraine, the idea was to topple the Zelensky administration and put in a puppet government. So at the outset, it's that this overwhelming force that swoops into Ukraine, and you're simply trying to gain your bearings and tell the story of Ukrainians caught by surprise, even with the warnings, and how they are trying to acclimate in a circumstance in which there is no precedent. There isn't anything like war so that you can really be fully prepared for it. When I returned in the summer, at that point, the battle lines had more or less cohered. And so central Ukraine, for instance, and northern Ukraine had become more or less safe. And in and around Kyiv, the capital, you had suburbs like Bucha and Irpin that had become notorious because the names of those towns were synonymous with killing fields, with what I would consider to be Putin's war of genocide, where civilians were gunned down simply for trying to leave the area, civilians who had their hands up at the time that they were shot dead. And so I wanted to provide a sense of how those areas were attempting to endure, even as the war continued and it appeared that their lives had stabilized to a degree. Going back now, this month, was an extension of the reporting in the summer, but going to a part of the country that I hadn't visited previously, which is eastern Ukraine, an area that continues to be heavily bombarded by Russian forces from across the border. And it was looking even more closely at this idea of how do people endure day to day when artillery is incoming and outgoing, when power is non-existent, when the only heat comes from a wood stove, when there is little, if any, communication with the outside world. The deprivation in eastern Ukraine is extreme. And as an extension of the reporting I had done previously, I wanted to try to offer a bit of insight into how difficult the lives are for Ukrainians day to day, And also that attention spans in the West can be a little short. And to say, look, you're still hearing artillery. You're still seeing missiles drop into a city like Kharkiv, which was about 1.5 million people before the war began, the second largest city in Ukraine. Now it's a city that's pitch dark at night. And in the deprivation that people are experiencing, you do realize not only the extreme conditions in which they live, but also a testament to their resiliency, their ability to sustain daily life. And that to me is inspiring, even as my prevailing feeling is one of anger and sadness at what they're having to go through.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sacramento-based journalist Martin Kuz, who spent the past year traveling to Ukraine, understanding the toll of the war. We're going to continue the conversation in just a moment. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.